This is WWJ All Local.
Be honest with yourself. Do you speed down Michigan roadways every day? Well, if you do, you're not alone. So I've noticed. A new survey, though, reveals that some drivers think speeding is acceptable. WWJ's Luke Sloan is live with details. Luke.
You know, Jackie, I don't want to incriminate myself here, and I don't think you want to do the same, but, you know, it's speeding. It's just kind of something everybody does. I mean, no one goes exactly the speed limit right. Well, we've kind of quantified that now. There's a new AAA study that's out that says the majority of drivers believe that going about 10 miles an hour over the speed limit is acceptable in their eyes, keeping people as safe as possible, maybe dodging a ticket. And they're also saying that it's safer to drive with the flow of traffic than obey the speed limit. That's also the word of the majority of drivers. So think being on the lodge and going the speed limit and having everybody go 20 miles an hour faster than you. But I'm talking with drivers about this morning here in Southfield, and not everybody necessarily agrees. Don Sutton, he's from Southfield here, and I talked to him. He says that 10 over is acceptable in some instances, but others, he says, is not good.
I think 10 miles over on the freeway is reasonable. I think on side streets, it's excessive.
Now, 79% of drivers say they will slow down to avoid getting a ticket. So even though 10 miles an hour is kind of the norm, so to speak, 79% of people say, yeah, if they see a cop or think about it, they will slow down. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says not only can you get a ticket for speeding, but you could also potentially cost a life, speeding a factor in nearly 30% of all deaths in 2024 on the roads. Reporting live in Southfield, Luke Sloan, WWJ News Radio 950.
Dearborn residents being asked to not engage with an anti-Muslim activist, Jake Lang, or any other outside agitators if they show up in the city today, which they are expected to. WWJ's Charlie Langton joining us live from Dearborn with the details. Charlie.
That's right. Good morning, Jackie. Yeah, the debate about Christian activist Jake Lang speaking and then organizing a protest before tonight's 7 p.m. Dearborn City Council meeting is heating up. Some say that Lang's views show his Islamophobia. Others say he has a right to peacefully protest. Michael, he is from Dearborn. He is a Christian youth minister.
You know, we're an American country. We support them doing that. But I believe in freedom of speech. I don't think anybody should be stoned for speaking what they believe. Or even if it's, I don't agree with everything Jake Lang says. And I'm not even sure if he's a Christian. But regardless of that, I believe he can have free speech.
And that seems to be the issue here. By the way, I'm in front of the Henry Ford Centennial Library, where the meeting was moved to a larger venue because of the anticipated large crowd. Also, I see here, just logistically, they're going to be blocking off the road right in front of the library, just a security reason. A couple of police cars, although we're right next to a police station, they've been around here. So security is going to heat up a little bit and get tightened up before the later city council meeting. Reporting live here in Dearborn, Charlie Langton, WJ News Radio 950.
Calls for resignation are growing after a West Bloomfield Township trustee was arrested. Trustee Jim Manna was absent from last night's board meeting despite being out on bond after being charged for allegedly planting secret recording devices in the rooms and bathrooms of his stepdaughters and saving more than 30 videos on his phone. Residents and fellow board members still took the time to call for his resignation. A resident, Julia Pulver, is among those demanding for him to step down.
Women in West Bloomfield especially have expressed to me their discomfort at having someone with these serious and credible accusations against them continuing to serve in a role that requires the public's trust.
Township Supervisor Jonathan Warshay is also calling for Manna's resignation. The board has no power to force him out, but they can appoint someone to fill his seat if he does choose to step down.
One Oakland County city is trying to make their downtown corridor safer by banning e-bikes. WWJ's Taylor Dietz joins us live with those details. Taylor.
Jackie, Chris, good morning. The Berkeley City Council voted last night to restrict where motorized vehicles can be ridden in the city. Starting in 30 days, traditional bikes, e-bikes, e-skateboards, e-scooters, and moped devices will be prohibited from being ridden on downtown sidewalks. This woman spoke up during public comment yesterday. She says making the city safer is great, but this could make it more dangerous for the riders.
As far as I know, there are no bike lane designated bike lane areas in the downtown area. So what you're doing is you're effectively forcing bicyclers who want to traverse that distance to ride with traffic.
The proposed restrictions would cover the stretch of downtown Berkeley from 12 Mile to and Coolidge Highway to Greenfield Road. Reporting live, Taylor Dietz, WWJ News Radio 950.
An equipment issue caused some delays at Detroit Metro Airport this morning. Airport authorities say an equipment failure and the Evans Terminal was affecting baggage processing systems, which serve Southwest, United, and American Airlines. Travelers were not able to check their bags during that time. After an hour, the systems were back up and running. It's not clear what caused the issue, but everything is back up and running again.
Opening arguments are set to begin today in a federal case brought by California and dozens of other states alleging Facebook and Instagram parent company Meta that their social media algorithms are designed to keep young users hooked at the expense of their mental health.
This trial is seismic and the world is watching, says Professor Julia Bowles, director of UCLA's Institute for Technology, Law, and Policy.
It's really the state attorneys general having learned the lesson of 15 years of impunity from the tech industry.
Meta denies the AGs have any proof of harm, but the company has already lost a similar case in New Mexico. Defeat in this case, however, in their home state could be catastrophic, says defense litigator Michael Coffey with the law firm Coffey Modica.
What's really important here, if the states do prevail, Meta could have a lot of damages against it, and they could also have nationwide changes mandated, how they verify age, data practices, engagement features.
Damages to the tune of $1.4 trillion.
That's Odyssey's Danny DiCrescenzo. He says the trial is expected to take at least 4 weeks, and Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg is expected to testify.
The future of the Renaissance Center will be the focus of a community engagement program that begins tonight.
Tonight and for the next 10 weeks, feedback from residents will be heard about the plans to redevelop the East Riverfront area, beginning at 6 p.m. at the Coleman A. Young Municipal Center. The biggest change will be to the Renaissance Center, which will have two of its towers knocked down, clearing more than 3 acres of room for projects that residents will suggest to officials at Bedrock.
We want this community to tell us what they would like to see on the waterfront. Do they want to see a movie theater? Do they want to see community sports? Do they want to see genuine on-the-water experiences like fishing piers and boat launches and marinas? It only works for us, for Bedrock, for General Motors, and for Detroit if it is co-authored by the community.
That's Jake Chedister, Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at Bedrock. Tony Ortiz, WWJ News Radio 950.
Well, you might have been to a restaurant in Michigan that's deemed a kitchen nightmare. Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares will air tonight featuring Madison Heights' own Boodles Restaurant at 11 Mile and I-75 Service Drive. Ramsay was here in 2025 filming that episode.
I need 2 minutes with the owner. I need 2 minutes with the owner. Please leave me alone.
Catastrophe. I didn't realize that some of these practices were that bad.
You've got to take accountability, whether you like it or not. You've got
clearly
to get involved.
Yeah, clearly.
And when I asked you earlier, come in, have a look. You couldn't get out of here fast enough. Why are you scared, Kevin?
I'm still serving guests. I get mired into the shift
work. It's not about a wine list. I don't give a about a wine list. What's the point of having a wine list today if we can't have decent food?
I think he's nice when the cameras aren't rolling.
Charming.
Find out what happens. You'll find out what happens tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. Then in September, the season finale will feature Firenze in Warren. That restaurant has been closed since June of 2025. The reality television show follows Ramsay as he spends a week with a restaurant that is failing in an attempt to save it.
Ready, set, school. Back to school coverage on News Radio 950 WWJ.
The addition of artificial intelligence is inescapable at every level of education in 2026. Our Chris Fallar says teachers are trying to workshop the best ways to help teach kids, but also avoid them using it to hamper their education.
In most school districts, you'll find an AI committee these days, working to build guidelines to utilize the tech in schools all over Michigan. Brittany Smithcourt is on Southline Community Schools Committee, formed just last year. She's a 14-year teacher, and they're rolling out AI for students in January and have put together a Bill of Rights for kids and teachers. She says it's obvious that her high school kids are going to see a lot more of it going forward.
I'm working with a student that their college app essay was, they were told by U of M to ask AI AI for a prompt and to have it give an answer back to them and to respond to that prompt. Again, like, this is not just something that high schools are struggling with. It's college and it's the workforce.
Some teachers are trying to take some tech out of classrooms, opting for paper, pencil, and essays written in person. And although AI can make everything a lot more complicated, Brittany believes the pros outweigh the cons.
I like to take the stance that it's been more positive. That's going to be a tool that kids use outside of the classroom, whether it's for, you know, daily, like, applicable things, or it's in their area of work. So I do think that it's definitely to their benefit to expose them to it.
Chris Villar, WWJ News Radio, 950.
As parents get their kids ready to go back to school, the state says they're not changing their vaccine recommendations. President Trump last week signed an executive order to promote his own vaccine recommendations with the Department of Health and Human Services that would space out vaccines for kids. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says that there's no data to support this, and they'll continue to recommend the standing recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Based on their vaccine guidance, they'll still recommend the shots together as well as the combination MMR vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella.
For the latest news plus traffic and weather together on the 8s, tune to AM 950. Follow WWJ on our Odyssey app or ask Alexa to play WWJ News Radio 950.